Blog Talk Radio.
Out there, for all other people in the East Coast, hope you have a great drive home, and I hope you have a lovely evening tonight. Thank you for joining us in the show. And then for all the Pacific Time people, thank you for listening to us during our lunchtime. I hope you enjoyed this break. And for all those people who are in Europe, like myself, thank you for joining us on a lovely evening in Europe with beautiful stars. And tonight we have a very special guest. Her name is Katrina Kaczmarek, and she is here with us. So before we begin, Katrina, can you say hello and just introduce a little bit about yourself, please?
Hi, yes, my name is Katrina Kaczmarek, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I have two amazing children, an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. I am a teacher. I teach anatomy and physiology for a local high school and a local university here in Phoenix, and I am a breast cancer survivor. And I am working on starting my own business to turn what has been my pain into joy.
Wow. Okay, so tonight the show is about compassion, and it's called Compassion Dakini. But before we begin, to all the callers who would like to call in, our number is 347-637-3220. The number again is 347-637-3220. So the show is about Compassion Dakini, and a Compassion Dakini is basically a pulse of life, and a pulse that begins with compassion. So we interview women and men who are extraordinary and who is truly an inspiration and a hero in all of our lives. And so tell us about how you got cancer and your experience when you first found out about cancer, some of the lessons that you learned in having cancer, and what did it teach you?
I was diagnosed at the age of 35 in December of 2010, and I found my lump myself on accident. I wasn't even doing a self-exam, but my lump was so large, I just felt it one morning when I was changing shirts. And I went straight to the doctor, and I was too young to really get a mammogram, but because he could feel the lump, he ordered one anyway. And so from the day I found the lump, I was diagnosed 48 hours later. And at that moment, my world just stopped. I had two young children at home. At the time, they were 3 and 6. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I was teaching, and I went to school, and I quit to begin treatment. I was stage 3, so I had to go through all of the treatment they could give me, including the mastectomy and the all of the chemotherapy and all of the radiation. Treatment lasted for 18 months, and I'm about to have my final surgery in about a month here, where I will get my final reconstruction. So that's the actual exciting part, is that I'll actually get some reconstruction finally. During that time, my husband left me, but I had started a blog a few months before. And so I was in the middle of all of this cancer pain and the pain of divorce, but I was writing it on a blog, and I had a lot of people support me through all of this. Lots of cards sent, lots of notes sent, lots of visitors to try to help, but one person in particular sent me a gift, and she called it a chemotherapy care kit. And it was a beautiful bag, and inside that bag were all of the things I would need for chemotherapy, some lotion, some hats, some mints, a couple of magazines, a water bottle, and it was a beautiful bag that I carry to this day. It didn't look like a hospital bag, or it was a gorgeous bag, and I still carry the bag, and it was the most heartfelt, wonderful gift, and I thought, someday, I want to be able to give these to people. And so as my treatment continued and as time went on, I needed something to take my mind off of all of the craziness in my life, and I learned how to knit, and I learned how to make jewelry, and I started making jewelry using healing stones, and I started selling my knitting and my jewelry on my website, which is called lovecansitanywhere.com. It's lovecansitanywhere.com. And I started selling these healing stone jewelry pieces and these scarves. And I was looking for a bag because I wanted to start selling chemotherapy care kits, but I wanted the bag to be beautiful. And I wanted it to be something that meant something. And something that women could carry even beyond their treatment and that they would love and that would have amazing meaning to them.
Uh-huh.
And everything just came together, and a friend who read my blog regularly got me in touch with a man who helps women in Cambodia who have been rescued from slavery and from sex trafficking get involved and trained in different trades. And he had a group of women who had been rescued from the sex trade that make bags. And I had already called my products Hugs for Held Under God's Spirit, and so I wanted to now make Hugs bags. And so I did. I sent specifications to the man in Cambodia, and the women sent me the first prototypes for my bags, and I cried all day long. I was so excited, and I love them to pieces, and my first shipment is actually on its way, and when it gets here, it will be sold through the website, and I've had so much interest in the Hugs bags that I'm going to sell them as chemotherapy and radiation care kits, but also just the bags. Because it will be like sending hugs all over, all around the world, from women in third world countries, keeping them employed and out of the sex trade, to sending hugs to women in the first world that are suffering from cancer and divorce and disease and all kinds of things that we just suffer at. And so really it has become a mission of mine to just help women heal.
Wow. That you just, I couldn't even ask the question because you answered everything. So the very interesting that you said about hugs, and I like the way how you have your G as an infinity sign, right?
Yes, my G is an infinity to stand for God, because I believe that every single one of us in the world is held under God's Spirit. He's beyond any box that anybody, religion, person, anybody could put him in. He is outside of every box you can imagine, and every single one of us are held under his Spirit.
And you've been, life is difficult, and life gave you disease and divorce and difficulties. So you got whammed with the 3Ds, so basically a basket full of lemons, and you somehow transform your lemons into lemonade, lemon pie, lemon gelato, limoncello, and that is truly an inspiration, and you're just an inspiration for all of us, and you're sending us a really inspirational message of even life with life difficulties, you are able to turn something so wonderful. So as a cancer survivor, what advice can you give to women who have just been diagnosed with cancer? What lessons have you learned?
I have learned that you need to take every single moment as it comes, and really feel it, because all you really have is now. I used to be a planner, and I mean a crazy planner, like 10 years out I was planning what I would be doing 10 years from now. And I'm not saying that I don't have plans anymore, because just to live on this earth you have to have a level of planning. But I have such a lighter attachment to my plans and to my desires. My attachment is not strong to those things anymore. I'm learning to become more attached to the moment, because when you're diagnosed with cancer, at least at the stage I was at, they look at you and they say, if you take every single bit of treatment that we can give you, there's only a 67% chance that you'll be alive in 5 years, and it just stops you cold. And you think, you know what? You begin to care less what other people think. You care less what other people want, and you really just try to live each moment. Even in chemotherapy, as awful as it was, I would be there for 8 hours a day, and I would really make the most of that 8 hours. I would take some naps because I had so much Benadryl in me, but then I would visit with the other patients, and I would read good books and just write and relax and try to make the most of even the pain, because just feel it. It'll go away. Nothing lasts forever, not the bad and not the good. So just take the moments as they come, feel them as they come, enjoy every bit of happiness, and also realize that pain doesn't last forever. It does go away. Just get through it and then move on to your next moment of happy and peace.
And you started a blog, and the one interesting thing about your blog is you're going to turn your blog into a book. Is that correct?
Yes, I am in the process of I'm continuing to blog. There's a couple of new blogs up, but the year and a half of going through all of the cancer and the divorce and then a little bit of pre-diagnosis, is I'm in the process of turning it into a book right now. I'm editing it and getting it into a sequence that will be readable in book form. So I'm going to continue to write as new things come, but I think I found a good stopping place for closing off that first book. And I find it interesting because when I got sick, I'm a reader, and so I have read my whole life, and I love books, and I was at the libraries and at the bookstores and just searching for things that would help me get through everything I was going through. I looked up all these books about cancer, and I got all these books about divorce, and divorce especially. And I would find these books, and I'd bring them home, and they would all be 2 years after the fact. Everyone was happy. They were all like, oh, we get along so well now. We all go to dinner now. Everything's okay. You know, it was for their good thing. But these books would just frustrate me to no end because I wasn't there. I was in the middle of all the pain. And so what I found with my blog is that I find very few people that have actually written as they were going through it. Like, I mean, like the true feelings on that day. And I didn't mean to do it when I did it. It was like a journal to get me through. But the journal is a chronological description of what it is to really go through those moments. And so given what I found when I was looking for help, I think this will be something totally different for the market, because very few people write in the middle of the pain. A lot of people write when it's over.
Wow. So you also mentioned about the divorce rate. So can you tell us about the divorce rate with the your experience that is with the divorce rate when women going through cancer?
Yes. It's sickness period at cancer, other kinds of degenerative diseases. There is an 80, if you're a woman experiencing cancer or illness or something degenerative, there is an 80% chance that your spouse will leave. And the reverse is true for men. if you're a sick man or you've got a disease or an illness, a 20% chance that your spouse will leave. And it honestly gives me empathy on both sides, which is a new empathy. If you buy my book, you will not find this empathy at all last year. But I have a newfound empathy for both sides, because it's hard to be a patient and it's hard to be a caregiver.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, I have run across a lot of divorced men recently who tell me, oh, well, we never would have left our wives if she were sick.
Yeah.
And it just makes me so angry, because I think you left her for less. You left her for an affair, or you left her for a change of scenery, or you left her just because you didn't feel like staying. And there was even less stress in that marriage than there was in mine, because
uh-huh.
we were dealing with so much. And so, I mean, I'm not making excuses for my ex-husband, but I'm
uh-huh.
getting to that 2-year out mark where I actually can find the empathy that I couldn't find when I was blogging.
Uh-huh.
And it's rough. And I think that it's hard for men to deal with that, to deal with, you know, sickness in a spouse, both sides. And then, you know, and it's hard to be sick. So it's a very sad statistic, and it's a very hard statistic. But what it says to me is that we need to be here for women. We need to help them in any way we can. And that's what I'm going to try to do with my business and my future writing and things like that. Because I meet women in my groups all the time, in my support groups, that have had the same experience. That you know, we're
yeah.
in a meeting and her husband's in the process of moving out. You know, and she's as sick or sicker than me. I was stage
yeah.
3, she might be stage 4. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's at some kind of breast cancer meeting with me, and she's just there because she's avoiding the apartment because her husband's moving out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's not just me. I meet it all the time. So that statistic, even though I read the statistic before I started meeting those people, it hits home to me constantly.
Wow. So with all the sadness that you were going through when you were blogging and you felt such empathy, so you would be a great person to ask, what is your definition of compassion?
My definition of compassion is really and truly attempting to put yourself in someone else's shoes. You know, the world is full of pity and the world is full of sympathy, but sometimes sympathy and pity just don't get it. You know, so pity looks at a drowning person and says, she's drowning, too bad. Sympathy looks at a drowning person and goes in to save them, but drowns right along with them. Empathy and compassion is somebody who looks at a drowning person, realizes they can't swim, but that there's a need for help. So they go ahead and get a tree branch and go out as deep as they can and reach for the person and give them what they really need. That's compassion. And it's very rare on this earth.
Wow. That's a really a beautiful definition of compassion. And what is your definition of spirit? What is the spirit of life?
My whole entire body is covered in goosebumps, and I would say that spirit is God's communication with every bit of his creation. It is us. I mean, we are spirit. He is spirit. Everything he's created is spirit. And it is his spirit that holds all of us, but we're all spirit, so we're all one.
And, you know, you were saying before that someone gave you a chemotherapy care kit. What would you put in the chemotherapy care kit?
In a chemotherapy care kit, I would put mints, because there are certain chemotherapies that make a really bad taste in your mouth. So mints or gum. I would also put there's something that you can buy called Queasy Pops, and they come either in sucker form or just like little mint form. And again, they're called Queasy Pops, but they really help with the nausea. I would put some hand sanitizer, because when you're undergoing chemotherapy, you have immune system problems, and so you want to make sure you always have your hand sanitizer with you. You want to keep your hand clean, and you know you can get great little things of hand sanitizer at Bed Bath & Beyond and all kinds of places to just put in there. I would be careful about the fragrances, though, because chemo can make you have bad experiences with smell, and you also don't want to put something that they like, a smell that they really love, because chemo might make them hate it in the future. So you want to try to go with very neutral smells when it comes to your hand sanitizers and your lotions. But uh-huh. your skin can get very, very dry with chemo, and so you want to put some good organic lotions in there. It's also nice to put some reading material. So if you're making a chemo kit for a good friend, in my chemo kits, I'm going to put like a new magazine, or I'm going to have some book options, some like exciting books. My friend put the first of the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo in my chemo kit, and that was brand new at the time, and it was just a fun read while I was sitting in chemo once. A journal is something nice, like just a handwriting notebook and a pretty pen so that they can like journal through their chemo, because I do believe that journaling helps. And then maybe a couple of hats or a couple of scarves. If it's breast cancer, that's real easy to find if you want to do it with the breast cancer symbol. But there's all kinds of pretty hats and scarves out there for any kind of cancer victim. And that's what I am going to put in my chemotherapy care kits the hugs bags that I sell.
And what are two recommendations of the best books that you've ever read that changed your life?
Oh, my gosh. There are so many.
How about something fun? And then how about something inspirational?
Okay. I for fun, I'm going to have to go over two. I'm sorry. For fun, I like everything that was ever written by C.S. Lewis. And his children's books are life-changing even for adults, the entire Narnia series. I read and reread that series, and every time I see something new in it, to the point that I almost have it memorized, and I quoted him often on my blog. And his inspirational books are good, too. But in terms of inspirational books, probably the best one I've ever read is called The Alchemist by Paul Coelho.
Love him.
He's awesome. I do have a Twitter account. I'm at Katrina_Kazmar, KACZMAR. But I follow very, very few people, because the people that I do follow, I want to see all the time. And Paul is one of the people I follow, because I love his quotes and all of his books in terms of needing inspiration.
Okay, so with that note, I just happen to have this quote by Paul Coelho. It says, in magic and in life, there is only one present moment, the now. You can't measure time the way you measure distance between two points. Time doesn't pass. We human beings have enormous difficulties focusing on the present. We're always thinking about what we did, how we could have done it better, about the consequences of our actions and why we didn't act as we should have. That's from Paul Coelho. That's like one of my favorite quotes that just happened to hear. We have a caller in right now. So, hello, this is Kim with Compassion Bikini.
Hello?
Yes, caller. Can you have a question for us?
Is that me?
Yes. Oh,
yes.
Aaron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't know I was coming through, because it keeps breaking out on my computer. I can't hear the show on my computer, so I called in.
Okay. Do you have
a question? My question was, what is your what does HUG stand for, and what is your website? Because I missed that.
Okay. My website is www.lovecansitanywhere.com. hugs.com. And HUGS stands for Held Under God's Spirit.
Okay. And I also wanted to say that I think it's wonderful, everything that you're making out of every place that you've been. I think that it's just a really beautiful story. I've been able to listen to the first 20 minutes, but then it's been breaking up ever since then. And so it seems like every turn in your life that has gone somewhat, you know, down a road where you wouldn't really wish for, you always make it to go back on the track that you want. And I think it's a really, really good story. And I look forward to getting your book someday. When is
Thank
it going to be finished?
Thank you so much. I hope to have it within the year. I'm still working on it, and I've got a friend that started editing for me piece by piece. But as soon as possible.
Is the title also going to be Hugs?
No, I am working on a title, but my current one is Christmas Tree Needles.
Oh, so you have another book. I missed that.
No, that's the book I'm working on. It's going to be called Christmas Tree Needles.
Oh,
I am working
okay.
on a few. But I'm calling it that, and that's a good question, because someone described sickness to me as Christmas tree needles, and I thought it was beautiful, and here's why. Uh-huh. When you get sick, you're sick for a long time, once you're done with treatment, everybody wants you to be better. Everybody wants it to be over. Nobody
yeah.
wants to hear about it anymore. But when you're the person that actually was sick, it's kind of like picking up Christmas tree needles. You think you got rid of the tree, but 2 months later, there's still some needles there. And then 6 months down the road, there's a few needles there. And the beautiful thing about that title for me is that even though I'm writing about all of the pain of my cancer and my divorce, at the end, I can dedicate the metaphor to my ex-husband, because without him, I would have never understood the metaphor of Christmas tree needles, because only with him have I ever had a real tree.
Wow.
Wow,
I love
Katrina.
It. I love
that's,
it.
That's beautiful, Katrina.
That's really nice. I don't want to stay on the phone. You guys only have a few more minutes left, so I'm going to try to hear the rest. And thank you again. It was very nice to talk with you.
Thank you for calling in.
You're
have
welcome.
A good day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, Katrina. So on that same note, I would like you to, if you can, please, you've met three new people. One is a mom with kids who are staying at home. What word of wisdom can you give her?
Being home with young kids can be very, very difficult. And when compared to all of the joys in life, statistically, that falls kind of low because it's hard. But I would say breathe and to the best of your ability, enjoy moments with them each day, even if those moments are small, because you've got a million things going on. You're cleaning the house, you're doing the laundry, you're making the food, you're keeping everything ready and everything together, even if it's 10 minutes per kid or 5 minutes per kid, sit down and have some kind of joyful moment, either reading a book or talking to them about their day, because those are the moments when they're grown and gone that you will never forget, and that will really help you stay in the now of them being little.
Okay, and then you just met another friend who, her best friend, just been diagnosed with a terminal illness. What advice can you give her?
If you can afford it, go see her and sit with her and just listen and hug and just be there. And, you know, if she wants to go eat, just go to her favorite restaurant, but hold her hand and be there, because there are a million things going on in her head. And especially if it's terminal, she needs somebody to just be there. And the most helpful people to me were the people that just walked into my house and just started working. Didn't need me to give them instructions, didn't need me to say, oh, I need you to do this. But I had some people that came and visited when I was sick, and they just cleaned the kitchen and didn't ask me what to do. Just cleaned the kitchen and made dinner. or came and started my laundry, or thought, oh my God, this nail is broken, I'm going to fix it. So just, you know, if they're that close to you, you can walk in their house and see what needs to be done and just do it. And you will be giving them a blessing beyond words.
And the third person is a mother who her daughter has been diagnosed with a terminal illness.
That is my biggest fear, personally. I say this to people with sick kids all the time. I am so sorry. I don't even know what to say to you, because when I think about my illness, the only thing I can ever say to God is thank you for letting it be me and not my children. Because I don't understand how hard that must be for somebody to watch their own child be sick. But I would think, if I'm trying to put myself in the child's shoes, that the child would want as much of a childhood as they could possibly have. And so I would try to make those childhood moments as good as possible. Take them to the movies. Let them enjoy the movies. If they're well enough to do the occasional play date, let them do it. You know, go get ice cream together. Do those wonderful, go to the park. Those little, beautiful childhood moments. There was a sick kid at my church a few years ago who, she was terminal and she passed away probably a year and a half ago. But I remember her family, when she got so sick that she couldn't do anything, one of her favorite things was movies. And they would just watch movies together and, you know, take her to great movies and, you know, take her to the park even if she could only just sit there, just to have those moments, those regular real-life moments.
Wow. So I say wow a lot on the show because it stands for words of wisdom. So, wow.
I love it. I'm going to say it more now.
So, Katrina, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on our show, sharing with us your blog status, and the blog's going to turn into a book. And thank you for sharing us a little bit of your heart, a little bit of your soul, and the lessons that you've learned and how much that you inspired all of us. And I am so grateful that I had an opportunity to meet you when you were here in Journey, and you are such a beautiful person. And if you ever need anything, if you ever need anything, you have my email. So, and you have a place anytime you want to come back to Germany, okay?
Thank you. And it was so nice to meet you too, Kim. I loved it. And I actually rubbed my children's feet in the peppermint and the sesame oil again last night, and they are in love with it. And it just makes everybody in the house feel so good. And I talk to them while I do it, and I say, this is so that your feet can carry you through all of the wonderful steps of your life. And
that's right.
It's just wonderful. So I want to thank you too. I am so happy I got to meet you, and hopefully the universe will conspire for us to meet again someday. But even if not, with the world of technology, I do hope we can keep in touch.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for being on our show, and thank you for sharing your time with us. I really appreciate it. So have a really awesome weekend. Have an awesome day today. And just want to let you know that you've changed the world just by being on this show and sharing a little bit about your life. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Good night for all those people in the East Coast. Good day for the people in the West Coast. And have a wonderful night. And thank you for all the people in Germany. Have a nice cup of chamomile tea and sweet dreams. Thank you, Katrina.
Thank you, Kim.
Bye.
Bye.